Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Welcome to an hour of mind power. In this wild and wacky world that we live in today, where all of us feel like we're going 90,000 miles an hour, even on the quiet moments we seem to be buzzing right along, my guest, Marianne Radmacher, is a woman, along with an associate, Jonathan Lockwood Huey, who have decided to adjust an attitude positioning, you might say, and put together a book, Simply an Inspired Life, Consciously Choosing Unbounded Happiness in Good Times and Bad. Marianne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
Now, your book, when I got it and I started to read through it, I was intrigued how you and Huey both decided you were going to write your own thoughts. You yourself, you've been a writer for a long time. You've been featured on CNN, Oprah. You've written a number of books, and you've done calendars. And as the heart, you not only have the heart of an entrepreneur, but you've actually lived the life of an entrepreneur for over 25 years. And you're in a very secret place in this in the state of Washington, which we won't say where it is, but is there, because you want to keep it secret so nobody else will go. You do what I do. You want to tell everybody that it rains so much here in Washington, the sun never shines. So they won't move here, okay, because it's so gorgeous. Now, Jonathan Lockwood Huey, he is a very successful man. He has been involved with high tech, but he decided that he had to do his own personal journey to find what his passionate purpose and meaning of life was. Now, apparently he's also in the same magical place that you're in Washington. How did the two of you get together? Were you out picking pumpkins one fall afternoon and you bumped into the pumpkin patch together? I mean, what happened?
Well, as it happens, Jonathan and I share a birthday. That's not how we met, but it explained our easy conversation and the great flow of ideas that we have between us. Mm-hmm. But Jonathan demonstrated the very great good sense in marrying one of my oldest and best friends.
Oh, that's a good guy. He's smart.
He is. He is a very smart man, and that is how I came to know Jonathan. So many people have observed that I live a life of inspiration. They see that I pursue my creativity and my passion for writing, and I live in an artful environment.
Mm-hmm.
And they've asked me for years, how do you live such an inspired life? And Donna, so often my answer comes in the form of metaphor or story or a narrative of my own experience, which mm-hmm. people enjoy, but then they say, yes, liked that story, but what is the structure of your life? How have you chosen to live this way? And so in partnering with Jonathan on this book, it is a book unlike what I usually write. It has a lot of more pragmatic identification of structures in our days and methods, and a little bit more how to come to your own inspired life. And that's one of the strengths mm-hmm. that our two voices have brought to the project.
The two of you are writing. You've got a number of chapters in the book. In each chapter, you present your own personal perceptiveness, your accumulated wisdom, if you will, after many, many years. And I like the quotes that you have in here. and you say, capture a shadow, dance with the wind, stand in a rainbow, begin at the end. This is very whimsical when you think of the words capturing a shadow, dancing with the wind, standing in a rainbow, begin at the end. Many people, when they'd hear those words, they would say, but you can't do that. Mm. And that's what you and Jonathan want people to know, that you can stand in a rainbow. You can begin at the end, and you don't have to worry about starting right at the beginning. You can capture a shadow and dance with the wind. There are so many different aspects that you bring out in this book. One of the comments right at the beginning is to become a passionate observer of life. And give your perspective of being a passionate observer. You've already commented on your artistic medium that you just love having on so many different levels in your life. What would you say to my audience about how they can become a passionate observer?
People are often asked the question, Donna, why did you do that? Or how did that happen? Or didn't that happen to you last month? And often the response to a question like that is, well, I don't know. I don't know how it happened again. And yes, it did happen to me last month, and it kind of just snuck up on me this time.
Mm-hmm.
And that very phenomenon is one of the key points in living an inspired life. When you are a passionate, engaged observer of your own life, it's as if your metaphorical, your metaphysical peripheral vision is broadened, and you become more attentive to the details of your own life and begin to identify patterns and commonalities that allow you to stop making some of the fundamental repetitive errors that many of us fall claim to in our lives. I can't help but think that many of your listeners are saying, yes, I asked myself, didn't I learn my lesson with this once, twice, 17 times?
We have 17 times, yes. We all have a tendency to have those little parts of our experience, and go, yes, I've been through this, I don't know how many times. Well, why are you doing it again? Duh, I don't know. But one of the things that I liked right at the beginning of the book, and I considered it a good exercise, that when we are consciously present with ourselves, when we start to utter a word like, oh, I'll never be able to do anything like this, or I'm stupid, or whatever. It can be any kind of a negative remark. Or, I am so poor, I will never, ever be able to achieve anything in life. You say, instead of repeating and focusing on negative assessments, you write down exactly the opposite. Now, I always feel that when you write, not type on the computer, but when you write with your hand, there is a direct connection to the brain. And you said, when you notice this swinging aside of the critical negatives that you had, you also recorded the opposite of harsh commentary that you delivered to yourself. You did it for a full month. What happened after you did that for a full month?
I started changing the manner in which I spoke to myself, which did two things for me, Donna. It created a much more fundamental, positive framework in my daily experience. And secondly, my positive conversation with myself changed the way that I heard negative assessments in my life experience. And in fact, gave me the presence of mind when someone made a negative assessment for me to say, perhaps could you think of a different way to say that to me? I stopped being so tolerant of people casually speaking to me in a negative way.
That's a very good way to look at things.
And in a very positive assessment, it wasn't defensive. I wasn't angry. I would just, and if the person had been somewhat mean-spirited, I found myself able to say, you know, I would love for you to pretend that I am your absolute best friend, that you can't imagine anyone on the planet that you like better than me, and I would love it if you would deliver that same information to me in a different way, because I'm sure you didn't mean it to sound so negative.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if they did, at least I have to say that on a couple of occasions, the person said, well, actually, I did mean for it to sound that negative.
Isn't
but
that
at least,
true?
But at least I wasn't allowing myself to simply tolerate the bad behavior.
I think that there are environments that people come through that many times, and I notice this with men more than I do with women, and I think it's a cultural thing. It's like, I have to be authoritarian. Now, don't get me wrong. I've met women that do the same thing. But I look at this, and I think your comment is a very good one, because you sort of deflate them. And when you deflate them, they may not be aware that they have acquired this habit of actually being obnoxious when they talk to people.
Well, and Donna, the real key point here is that the first negative voice that I had to deflate was my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I call that exercise a mirror of my own choosing. And so over a period of a month, when I retrained my thinking and my commentary toward myself to be more uplifting, reinforcing in a positive way, it really did enable me to have a stronger vocabulary in dealing with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And even today, mm-hmm. even today, I can say to a friend in conversation, let me ask you if you meant actually to communicate with that you don't think that I'm doing everything that I could do toward this project.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, the person might say, that's not what I meant to convey at all. And I'll say, oh, good, I'm so glad I asked.
Mm-hmm.
Because, indeed, that if you evaluated their words, that is what their words may have conveyed. And so I give people the opportunity to communicate again, because we don't all always say exactly what we mean.
That's true. And I think no matter how articulate a person may be, again, certain aspects can come in and they go into a patterning that maybe was part of their survival patterning many, many years before. And they don't realize that they're doing the same thing again. It's a way, I think, of being consciously present and owning your own space and choosing whether or not you are going to enable yourself or whether you're going to allow someone else to have the dominance over your environment. And I think there's so much good information in the book that you and Jonathan have put together, Simply an Inspired Life, when we recognize that first we do have to start with ourselves. No
yes.
blame for other people, no blame for the way life has gone. Don't put it on anybody else. Just look at what we've gone through and say, all right, this is stuff that's happened to me. It's true. But what am I going to do with it? Am I going to carry the baggage around for the rest of my life? Or am I going to compress it into a microchip so that it's useful and then move on without the heavy load of all the unnecessary trash?
I really like that image.
No, no, why? That's pretty cool. That was spontaneous. I love it when that
happens. That was good. Yes.
Now, let's talk about five core needs. Five core needs. And this is something everybody knows about. And you define them as certainty, freedom from pain, survival, safety, and human companionship. And there are pairs that you show. Need for certainty is fear of the unknown. Need for comfort is fear of physical pain. need for survival, fear of losing necessities, need for safety, fear of personal danger, need for companionship, fear of abandonment. Now, I know people listening to this may say, well, gee whiz, I'd think of it differently. And that's perfectly okay. But survival is what everyone is going to have a focus on. There is no question about that. That is something that's part of human life. Why did you feel bringing out the information about the five core needs was necessary?
Because contrary to this section that Jonathan has presented in our book, we also say that in living a life of joy, you embrace the fact that there's nothing you need.
Mm-hmm.
And my whimsical statement about capturing a shadow is a reflection, Donna, that some experiences in our lives are apparent contradictions. And so how can we at one time say there are basic core needs to a human being, and we at the same time there is never a need for anything? And so we felt it was important to acknowledge that on a humanity level, there are indeed fundamental needs to basic survival.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, in our culture, all we have to do is turn on the television or listen to a radio station to learn their perception of need. We need this toothpaste. We need this diet pill. We need to have this food in our freezer. And our culture is based on a set of perceived needs that may have absolutely nothing to do with our personal joy and happiness, and yet our culture paints them as if they do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to present the apparent contradiction, particularly in American life, that while there are fundamental core needs to basic human survival at a spirit level, you can at any given point say that you have within you everything that you need.
And that is a true statement, because that is a reality, that we have come into this world with what we need, with what we need. So life is a journey to understand that what we have within ourselves can be utilized to an even greater level. And you have an exercise that talks about assumed obligation. And I found this quite interesting. And these are obligations you can feel towards others, you believe others have towards you, and you what you think people owe to society. And you say, go and list 10 things that you've done today. For each item, identify whether you did it because you choose to do it or because you needed to do it. And for those items with which you associated needed, write down the authority that imposed the necessity, whether it's God, society, your boss, your spouse, yourself, and contemplate why you gave up your conscious attention and free will to that authority. And if you had a chance to make a free will choice about what that obligation was, would have you done it differently, or would you have felt differently about them? I thought that is quite an interesting exercise to do. If you did that at the end of the day and made assessments, it might enable you to sort of evaluate what your sense of obligation is and why it's there.
Precisely. That's exactly what it does. And it also, when an individual does this particular exercise with some level of consistency, and by that I mean just for a period of 5 or 7 days, it begins to point out that insidious little quality of bitterness and resentment. When you make a list like this, you begin to recognize, wow, half of the things that I did today I did out of presumed obligation,
mm-hmm.
based on an authority that has nothing to do with my core values.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing. And then when you start, obviously the point of the exercise is to dial back and find out what would a day look like in which you consciously chose to perform an action not based upon the obligation that you perceived or the expectation of another, but because you embraced it, because you chose to do it. It makes it, it could be the same activity, Donna, but an incredibly different experience just based on that attitude.
I think that's very true. You have a quote in here by Socrates, "The greatest way to live with honor in this world is to be what we pretend to be." And when you think of those words, almost every living being wears a mask. They have the mask that's the private mask, the professional mask, the holiday mask, the go-to-church meeting mask. I mean, they have all these masks that they wear. And if we have established an identity with any one of those masks that we really think is special and we really, really like it, to live our life as that would really be something. Socrates uttered some very, very wise words there. When you were dealing with this chapter, Honor for True Self, how did you and Jonathan come together and put it into the perspectives that you did? What does honor mean to you, and what does it mean to Jonathan?
Well, today I will answer what it means to me.
All right.
Because part of the model that we talk about in our book is, even though we're co-authors, we don't speak for each other,
mm-hmm.
which is why in our life philosophy we wrote this book using two voices rather than synthesizing and homogenizing our two voices into one. We had a phenomenal time working on this chapter, and we both agree, and I demonstrate in my writings, that honor for others begins with self-honor. And this is I don't know if you did this on purpose, Donna, but it is a reoccurring theme throughout the book, that the qualities and the nature of our exchange in our world that we would long to have with others really only happens as an extension of that quality being present in our relationship with ourselves. So if we would live an honorable life, if we would live honoring and respecting the choices and the opinions of other people, we first have to find our path to honor ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And in our society, we confuse that with arrogance or being self-involved or admiring ourselves too much. And it's simply not, in our presentation, it's simply not that way. I honor myself, I say in the book, by choosing joy. Today, in this moment, I will not delay my personal reward to the end of all the things I have to do on my to-do list before I give myself a grace or a reward or honor myself for my efforts.
That, I think, is wonderful. And there is a wonderful commentary on honor that I'll share with my listeners later on. Let's talk about the chapter. There are so many different segments in the book, and the choice with an open mind and heart. In today's times, when so many people have been removed from their positionings, when they are in this variable floating on what they feel are the white rapids of life, and they just don't know if they're going to be able to make it over the waterfall, it's really something, I think, to be able to reinforce the thought that we do have choice, and that with our attitude about whatever is happening, if we get upset, that's okay, you can get upset, But then how can you be proactive? And let's address mind fog here, because that is something that when the emotions really get whipped up into that frenzy of those white river rapids, by golly, all you see is the foam and the turbulence, and you're just riding along in this, and all of a sudden you may bang into a boulder or something else, and you just think you're going to be a victim. How do we get rid of that mind fog?
I hope you find this as entertaining as I do, because many of my answers involve writing and the process of questioning and creating questions that are outside of our normal experience. But my first answer today is to take a nap.
That's exactly what I do.
Because part of that mind fog is your body is contributing to the process of a foggy brain by telling your mental capacity, I am weary, I am tired, I am not operating at optimal capacity because your brain and you, your response, your attitude to life experiences have exhausted me. And so rather than following that internally going spiral that gets ever smaller the longer you walk on the brain fog path, taking a nap, pausing, doing something restorative like getting a massage or going for a swim, breaking the pattern with something physical is a first and very important element in dealing with that brain fog. And then the second thing that I do is once I wake up from my nap, if it doesn't just naturally seem clearer, I do pull out a piece of paper and a pen, and I ask myself to create a series of questions about the circumstance that's puzzling me in the voice of someone else besides myself.
Uh-huh.
So essentially, I'm going to write questions or narrate a story about the experience that I am having, but in the voice or a perspective of someone besides myself.
Now, Marianne, we're coming close to our time, and I hated to interrupt you.
Oh.
But I wanted my listeners to know that in the book, Simply an Inspired Life, there is a wonderful section on what you call the naming ceremony. And I think that this is so wonderful because what we consider ourselves, what we call ourselves, and this is a tradition that the Aborigines had used for thousands of years. In fact, the Aborigine would say, this is my name. There would be a certain ceremony they would go through. They might change their name the following year. It didn't make any difference. They were giving themselves a name, and the rest of the Aborigine would honor that individual for the name that they chose, and they addressed them by that name. So I find that this naming ceremony that you have in the book is very, very interesting. I know you've got a website. Again, we're just about out of time. It's simplyaninspiredlife.com. I'm sorry I had to interrupt you there. It's consciously choosing unbounded happiness in good times and bad. Do you have a closing thought in about 30 seconds that you'd like to share with my audience?
Well, the summary of the book, Donna, is easily found in two words. Choose joy. Choose joy in the difficulties, in the pleasures, in all of the attributes of your day. It falls within your ability to make a decision to have an attitude, and I suggest that attitude be choose joy.
Well, there it is. Simply, the book has some marvelous information in it. Simply an Inspired Life, it's the kind of book where if you do have that mental fog, if you've taken a nap and things haven't worked, why don't you get the book? Go through and do some of the exercises, and I think you will find that the discovery of yourself and the greatness of who you are will absolutely be so comforting and exciting to discover. Mary Ann Radmacher and Jonathan Lockwood Huey, Simply an Inspired Life, the website simplyaninspiredlife.com. Thank you again, Mary Ann, for being with me. This is Donna Sebo, and we're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello again. This is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are open. I invite you to give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. If you'd like to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, this is a great time to do it. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, this evening, I want to let you know, those of you that will be on the computers, if you want to share an hour with Monique and myself, Monique Chapman and myself, we're going to be on her show, which is Walking with Spirit on AchieveRadio.com from 5 until 6. I will be doing readings on air with Monique, and you'll be able to participate in that. So you can go and check out her website, walkingwithspirit.com, and also you can go to AchieveRadio.com where you'll be able to hear the show live. So either location, you'll be able to get the programming. And I want to remind those of you that are listening from the state of Washington, this Saturday I'm going to be appearing at the Boeing Parapsychology Employees Expo. Now, this is an event that has been put on for years by the personnel at Boeing, and I've been a participant for such a long time, and it has been always a joy to interact with not just the staff, but the other people, the other vendors that are involved, because they are just such a wonderful group of people. Now, this is going to be held at Kent Common. For the address and contact information, the hours are going to be from 9 until 5 this Saturday. All you have to do is go to their website, BEPC, web web.org. That's B like boy, E like Edward, P like Paul, C like Charles, web.org, and you'll be able to get all of the information. Again, it's just a wonderful event. Bring the family. There's all kinds of things going on. They have stuff for kids, but you'll have an opportunity to chat with all kinds of people and, again, interact with some very fine individuals. And if you have interests in parapsychology and you want to explore some different things, this is a wonderful environment to do it in. So, again, that's this Saturday, 9 until 5. Also, I'm going to be in Safety Harbor, Florida, and I'm going to be there for 4 days. So for those of you that might be in that general area, if you wanted to meet with me and have a private session by phone or in person, there will be times that that will be possible. I'll be there from October the 1st until the 4th, and then I will be in Alaska from the 12th of October to the 18th. I'll be both in Fairbanks and Anchorage. So if anyone in either of those areas would like to be in touch with me to schedule an appointment for a private consultation, all you have to do is call my office, 800-872-8852. That's 800-872-8852. Well, I had said I wanted to share a statement about honor. When Marianne was speaking, I had gone through the book prior to the interview, as I always do, and I really liked this, and I wanted to share it with you because I thought that it said something very special. Today we hear about so many people who do not know what honor means. Their behavior is very, very undesirable. So I'm going to share this with you. We do have a caller at the moment, however, so we're going to be going to this caller first. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Now, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from California.
Where in California?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm near the ocean. I'm near, I guess it's PCH, Pacific Palisades.
Oh, my goodness. That is an awesome area. It really
is
gorgeous.
Yeah, it's very cold near the ocean right now.
Well, it is because the ocean, you know, our ocean isn't particularly warm on the West Coast. It's not like down by Florida where you can just sort of be very comfortable in the water most of the year. That's not the way it is.
Yeah, it could be worse, I guess.
And your first name there?
I'm sorry, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Okay, Lisa, the first thing I'm looking at with you is intent. And, Lisa, when I'm focusing on you, I really feel that you have come to an apex with your decision-making, and you're saying to yourself, you know, I could stay just where I am, I could do what I'm doing, and that would be all right, but is it really what I want? And I'm glad you're asking the question, because the questions are going to prompt you to do some searching. And that searching is going to empower you so that you can do what needs to be done and make the shifts that you know you need to make within the next year. And this isn't melodramatic. This isn't anything to be afraid of. This is a very decisive period, the year that's coming up, 2010. And I think you feel good with the decisiveness because there had been so many years where that decisiveness was not the way it should have been in your mind's view.
True.
And so now you're in this decisiveness, and sometimes it gets a little scary because you feel so self-confident. I want to say, don't be scared. Laugh at what you find is a shadow of disapproval. It's almost like you have got this image in your mind that if you have too much joy or feel good, that's not a good thing. And I think this goes back to either a movie you watched where people were put down or maybe someone saying, what's that smile on your face for? You know, because
yeah,
they were having a lousy
right.
day. Okay? So you just have to look at that and whatever that shadow is, and if you get that retort in your mind of, what right do you have to have this? Just giggle it away, smile it away, and say, I have every right. I've earned this right, and I am accepting it. Now, there is an issue with money that you are going to find that concerns you. The issue with money is one that can be worked with, but you need to think differently. So what I'd like for you to do is put down in black and white what you feel is the challenge. And then I would go around and talk to different people and say, this is what I'm looking at. This is what I want to achieve. What suggestions would you have? Now, you might find most of them have the very same suggestions, and you're going to say, thank you, I really appreciate that. And in your mind, you're going to say, this is ridiculous. I'm not coming across anybody that's innovative in their thinking. And that's okay. You just keep asking the question. And you're going to find a man who is going to say, all right, I could say this to you, but what is it that we have in options? You're going to say, I really don't know, and that's what I'm asking the question for. I'm trying to see what options might be available. And I'm seeing this person bringing up two, possibly three options. You're going to say, wow, that's really neat. I wonder why the other people didn't think of it. And he's going to say, because it is not in their experience. I've been doing X, Y, Z for a long time. So I know of these other options. So you're going to have some new thoughts and some new levels of education that you've never had before. And this is going to empower you in a way that you would never have dreamed. And it's going to also cause you to do some very serious thinking about how you want to create your financial environment so you're in a very comfortable zone. And mm-hmm. you'll have the opportunity to do the traveling that you want to do. So I think you've got a lot going for you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What question do you have for me?
I was just going to ask, the man that you're mentioning, is it someone that I know already, and is it business-related?
Yes. Yes to both questions, or both aspects of the question.
Got you.
Don't be afraid to ask. The worst thing that anybody could say to you, and I don't know that it's the worst, is, how did you get yourself into such a stupid mess? Or... you have no options. There's only one way. This is God speaking. Well, I'm sorry, but there's always another way.
Yeah.
I'm serious. That happened with me just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing how a person came up with an option. I said, this is the challenge. I don't particularly care for this result that's being projected. I'm looking for another challenge. Another resolution to the challenge, and they said, wow, it's good you asked that question because I just had an idea. And they came up with something that was absolutely amazing. Absolutely
yeah.
amazing. So you need to keep that in mind, dear. You're doing beautifully.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
You're doing beautifully.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I can feel everything you said made absolute sense to me. Everything.
Well, good.
Oh, thank you.
You are very welcome. And be sure and tell your friends about the show.
I definitely will. Thanks a lot, Donna.
You are welcome. You have a beautiful, beautiful evening now. This is Donna Sebo. And if you want to call in, well, you can do that, just like Lisa. Give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. That phone line is open for you. Now, I had what I was going to share with you. This is on Honor. Honor's journey home. Honor knows so many roads. When met with disappointment, Honor whispers hope. When confronted with anger, it listens harder. When faced with challenge, Honor imagines fiercely. When approached with harm, it raises an open palm. When utterly betrayed, Honor knows to walk away tall. When loving unconditionally, Honor knows to thrive. When touched by appreciation, Honor basks in gratitude. When shown a new way, Honor becomes a student. When cornered, Honor finds a way to continue the journey home. Honor finds its greatest gift as a gift given truly. The author of that poem, nobody knows. And I think that when we can look at honor in that way, it gives us a whole different perspective And when you think about so many of the common attitudes about honor that involved a vindictiveness or a cruelty or a level of selfishness without thought, it really gives you pause. So I wanted to share that with you. And that is in the book, Simply an Inspired Life. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. When we come back, I've got a recipe I think you might enjoy now that the temperatures are getting a little bit cooler. Can be fixed in a crock pot or on top of the stove. We're going to be chatting after I come back, taking a break, 888-815-9756.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Now, tomorrow, Teresa Tapp is going to be on the show. Now, for those of you that have been regular listeners, you know Teresa has been a frequent guest on the program. And about over a year ago, a year and a half ago, I started her TTAP program. And I always get excited when I have Teresa on the air because I have toned up 30 and a half inches. And that's all over from head to toe. And I'm taking on a challenge of losing one dress size. She has a program, if you're able to stick with it, and that's the thing, to be able to stick with it, for 1 month you can reduce a dress size. And that is something I want to take on as a challenge. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow and some other things, because here we are in the fall of the year, and it is so easy, if you're not careful, to really get yourself stuck into a patterning where you're going to feel like chubby checkers by the time you get through the holidays. So you don't need to do that. And with her physical regimen, it's absolutely awesome. Also, next week, I am going to be in Safety Harbor, Florida, where her retreat is going on. Now, last year, I did broadcast from there, and I'm going to be doing the same this year. So we're going to be talking with some of her presenters who will be at the event and finding out information about wellness, but more than that, about how you can get yourself into shape at 15 minutes a day. You make a difference with yourself, and you develop a patterning that you don't, with exercise, you don't have to use weights or anything like that. So I'm really excited. Teresa's going to be with us tomorrow, and then we're going to be on site with her big event next week. So be sure to tune in, and if you want to get fit and fabulous in 15 minutes, it is not a lie, it really does work, then you want to hear Teresa tomorrow. Also, on Thursday, we're going to have an open mic day. So that'll mean on Thursday, you can call in and chat with me anytime during the hour. I do this every once in a while because often I have so many different points of material that I like to share, and I usually don't have enough time with most of the shows. So this gives me an opportunity to bring out some odds and ends of things that I think you might be interested in. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with an animal communicator. Yes, her name is Dawn Brunke, and she will be calling in from Alaska, and her book is Animal Voices, Animal Guides, and she's going to be discussing how if you have a desire to communicate with animals, to learn how to work with them telepathically, she has some wonderful, wonderful suggestions for you. So I wanted to let you know about that. We just have so many wonderful people in this world, and we can't do everything, and it's so nice to know about people that maybe are involved with areas of interest that we have. And I like to think that in doing the show that this is what we're able to bring to you, a wonderful repertoire of variety, but also information that can empower you as a person. Speaking of information, how about a little bit of trivia? Have you ever heard about a horse that you cannot ride? Well, there is one that you couldn't ride if your life depended on it. It's an itsy-bitsy little horse. It's a seahorse. Do you know there are in the world today, to the best of our knowledge, over 22,000 different species of fish? And of course, there are many of these that have been incorporated into home aquariums. The seahorse, which I have to say, out at the Point Defiance Park here in the Pacific Northwest, they have the most exquisite seahorse exhibition you could ever want to view. It's absolutely gorgeous. And of course, the seahorse, watching it swim, they see as an education in physics. It has very small side fins and drifts very slowly in the water in an upright positioning. And to rest, it needs something like seaweed or coral that it can wrap its long tail around. And something else that's very unique about the seahorse, and I'm sure you're aware of it, the males are the ones that get pregnant and carry the babies. That's right. They're the ones that go around, end up with a big, big tummy in the sea world. And they're so fascinating to watch. They're just absolutely amazing creatures. They are doing something by all the rules of logic shouldn't be done, sort of like the bumblebee. And they're so pretty. They are really, really beautiful. Now, there is something about animals that I think you need to know. And if you have a dog, you need to be aware they need to have a good, healthy digestive tract. Why? Because if they don't have the right kind of microorganisms in their tract, then their proteins won't be digested, fatty acids, starch, vitamins, minerals, all of these things, just like with us, will not be absorbed. So if you can put something into their supplement package, like a probiotic and enzyme supplement, it will bring their intestinal tract into harmony. And I'll share with you something that happened with our dogs just recently. We found that our dogs had tapeworms. Now, what's interesting is that usually when you find a worm, let's say, in the dog's stool, that's when you go, oh my goodness, my dog has worms. But what I learned about tapeworms, when this happened with our eldest dogs, Kinsey, that is an egg sac. I learned that this was an egg sac from a tapeworm that attached itself to the internal organs, the intestines, of our Scotty. And there's a medication they will give that will get rid of it. But it comes from a flea's egg that they have swallowed that has this larva of this worm inside of it. So it's amazing stuff. That's why you don't want your dogs eating grass when they're out wandering around, etc. They can pick up this larva. It comes from the fleas. And, of course, we've been in the flea season for a while, but I just think I'd share that with you because it affects the digestion and absorption of food. And we've seen a big change in her eating habits since we have had that situation addressed. So I just want to share that with you if you have some furry critters, just to be aware of that. Well, this is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is a good life to be living. Live an inspired life. Look to the greatness within yourself and let it shine. Tomorrow we'll be right here, same time, same place, here at bbsradio.com, station one, and we're going to be talking about how to stay fit and fabulous and doing it in a time-efficient manner. Teresa Tapp will be with us. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.